This episode is brought to you by Visit Williamsburg. In Williamsburg, Virginia, there's never too much of a good thing. Whether you're a foodie, a golfer, a history buff, a shopaholic, an outdoor enthusiast, or a thrill seeker, you'll find what you came for here and more. So ask yourself, what is it you want? Discover Williamsburg and plan your trip at visitwilliamsburg.com.
Hello, and welcome to It's a Fandom Thing. I'm your host, Erin Marlowe, and each week I'm joined by a panel of guests to discuss all things fandom and pop culture, primarily from a female perspective. You'll find everything from fanfic to cosplay to Schitt's Creek to Supernatural and everything in between. So put on your favorite piece of fandom merch, set aside that fanfic that you're writing about your OTP, and sit back and enjoy this week's episode. Hello, and welcome to this week's episode of Pop Culture and Fandom News. I'm your host, Erin Marlowe, and this week on Friday's episode, we are wrapping up Gen X Movie Month and celebrating 1994 films. I have a feeling we might be celebrating those come October again. We might be celebrating like horror films from that time. I'm not positive yet, so don't hold me to that, because it depends on what horror movies came out in that year and whether or not I'm like, okay, yeah, let's cover these. If it's like a bunch of like stuff that I don't want to talk about, then we won't be doing that, just to let you know. But we're rounding out Friday with a decidedly different movie than what we have been talking about. And that is the action thriller film directed by Jean Dubon, starring, of course, Keanu Reeves and Sandra Bullock and other people, and that is Speed. And this was the movie that won our listener poll of the one you wanted us to cover. So it was like decidedly different than the atmosphere of the past three we have been covering, but this film still had an impact that year in a different way than the other films we've covered, but it definitely had an impact on the world kind of thing, you know, a huge success and changed, I think, the trajectory of certain people's careers and gave people's careers too. So we'll talk about that on Friday. And with me this week, and hopefully fingers crossed, everybody, that for, I don't know yet because I haven't recorded it, that for our Speed episode, Tiff will be able to join us. So fingers crossed for that. But for this week, I have with me Carla from Bedwetter Behead Pod. Hello, Carla.
Hello.
And returning from last week's Pulp Fiction and from our first episode of the month, The Crow, Sarah. Hello, Sarah.
Hello.
So before we get into Speed and talking about how a bus could really go that fast and jump over a huge thing, we're going to talk about some pop culture and fandom news. So first things first, Carla, what is one thing in fandom or pop culture that you're into right now?
Before we get into that, I need to make a retraction, correction, interjection to a previous statement that I made. I think this was on the last podcast that I was on. As you may or may not recall, I was very upset towards the end of the Fandom News and Pop Culture episode that particular week, because I had gotten an alert from Libby, my audiobook app, which connects to my library card, which means that you can get that you can check out books for free, audiobooks for free. And that my hold for the Barbra Streisand memoir, My Name is Barbara, was released. And I almost choked when I saw that the book is 48 hours. And I was angry because I was like, what the hell is wrong with you that you think that you can command 48 hours of people's time? I was livid at the self-indulgence of this just ridiculous amount of time. And I was wrong, because it was fascinating. It was a very interesting book, very compelling, lots of very, especially if you're very into movie making and what goes into it and how women are treated in the entertainment sphere. It's fascinating. And I'm angry I'm angrier that I enjoyed it as much as I did than I was about that notification and it being 48 hours. So I am doubly angry. Anyway, back to the matter at hand. I recently read the book Flux by Jinwoo Chong. It's like a time travel sci-fi kind of book. And you know what? It's really, really interesting. I wasn't sure, because the thing is with like sci-fi is that even if you're a big fan of the genre, they can be really hit or miss as far as how good the writing is. I really enjoyed the writing in this book, and I particularly enjoyed the narration. I thought it was very well narrated. I thought that the story was very, very interesting. And it's here's like a quick synopsis. A blazingly original and stylish debut novel about a young man whose reality unravels when he suspects his mysterious employers have inadvertently discovered time travel and are using it to cover up a string of violent crimes. Yeah. So it sounds fascinating. And guess what? It is. It's a great, great book. There's a lot of feeling in this book, which I think is one thing that is often missing in sci-fi. Like in sci-fi writing, they will give you like this fascinating world, but you don't really get to know a lot about the interior life of the protagonist. And in this book, I think that you do get a lot more of that. So I was very glad that I read it, and that, because I was like a little iffy on it. I was like, I don't know about this. I'm glad that I stuck it out. Like, honestly, for me, like the first part of it was a little bit confusing, but I stuck with it. And guess what? It paid off. And the narrator is David Lee Hyung, and he is magnificent. Just so good. Like, my husband my husband never reads the books that I recommend, okay? Like, I've been recommending books to him up and down and left and right and out the wazoo. He never reads them, and it drives me up the wall. But this one, he was in the book while the book was going on, and he's like, oh, what's it called? I might download it. And I was like, you should. So, you know, if my own fascination with a book is not compelling enough, then you have my husband's as well.
Awesome. And I should make notes of these. I'm going on a road trip this summer, and so I've never listened to audiobooks during road trips, so I should maybe download one to listen to for some of that time. So yeah,
it's a great way to pass time.
So Sarah, what is one thing you're into right now?
My husband and I just finished watching Fallout on Amazon Prime last night, based on the video game. I thought it was very well done, despite not having a lot of knowledge about the game. I understand the premise. My kids have played it. My husband has played it. And he said the casting, the aesthetic of it was just perfectly captured. And from what I have seen of the game, because I've seen my kids play it, I would have to agree. Even a friend of mine who's a big gamer, he said it was just perfectly done. Great cast. Walton Goggins as the ghoul is fantastic, but I absolutely loved him in Justified, so I'm a little bit biased there. Some great guest stars, Leslie Uggams, Michael Emerson, Matt Berry is in one episode, except I cannot watch him now and not think of Laszlo. That's all I hear. When I hear him talk now.
I'm thinking New York City.
Tucson, Arizona. Yeah, I can't listen to him and not hear Laszlo. But anyway, great story. A little bit of political commentary in there. If you're not familiar with the game, there's nuclear bombs that are dropped, and the wealthy get to go live in the vaults, while everyone else is left to their own devices on the surface. So a little bit of class commentary thrown in. And it's actually already been renewed for a second season, which I'm excited about. But yeah, if you like the game and you're really into it, and I would definitely check it out, because I absolutely loved it and will probably end up watching it again, because I have a feeling there's going to be a lot of things that I did not pick up the first time that, you know, I'll end up picking up on the second time watching it through.
So what I'm into is I finally watched the horror film Talk to Me, the Australian supernatural horror film Talk to Me. I do want to just preface this by saying, because I didn't realize this, and I know in horror, sometimes I think people feel because it's horror that trigger warnings are a little bit different, but I still think there should be big triggers for this for self-harm behavior. It starts out with self-harm behavior, suicide. Yeah, those are the big ones. So I just really want to put that out there. Like there's a scene in here also with a young boy that is very violent, and like he's like maybe 11 or 12, or I mean, he might be a couple years older than that, but still pretty young boy. And it's very extremely violent. And so if that's hard for you to watch, I also want to mention that, because I think I forgot to mention that when I said it to other people. So apologies. But I did not realize that it had a lot to do with that. And this was an interesting watch for me because I had heard mixed things about this movie. I had heard from some reviewers that didn't like it that this movie was boring, that nothing really happened, that they didn't really do anything with this premise of, if you don't know what it is, it's like there's like this hand that's like basically like ceramic wooden hand that has all these carvings in it. And it's said to be the cutoff hand of some medium. And you hold it and you say, talk to me. And then you see like ghosts, you see spirits, you see dead people. And then you say, I let you in, and they possess you. And then you have to count down. Otherwise, they'll just take a hold of you, and you light a candle, and then you have to burn out the candle, or they won't leave, kind of thing. And then, of course, things go horribly awry. But I kept reading these reviews saying, this is an interesting premise, but they don't do anything with this premise. Nothing happens. And I'm watching this movie. I'm like, did they even watch this movie? Because this movie is so violent, really gory. Like, the violence is so visceral in here that you can, to me, I almost felt like you could feel it. It's also very emotional and very depressing. And I know this sounds like you liked this movie. It sounds like such a great recommendation I'm giving you here. I just want to prepare people because I was not prepared at all. And I really, really liked it. It kind of haunted me and stayed with me. And I thought it was really well done. I thought the performances were really, really good, especially from Sophie Wilde, who plays Mia, who is the main person in this. But it is very intense, I thought. And I do want to share, though, a little funny story that happened to me when I was watching this. And so this was last weekend. And I'm lying there, and, you know, Fergie and I are watching this movie. Fergie was really liked this movie. This was so Fergie's alley. And we're watching it, and then all of a sudden, the power goes out. Like, the power goes out, like, all over the neighborhood. Like, it was pitch black outside, and I'm just lying there frozen. I was so scared for a few seconds before I wrapped my brain around what was going on that it wasn't the movie. It was just the power went out. And Fergie was even a little bit scared. And then the power came back on. And then, like, it took a little bit for the internet to really boost itself. And so I'd be watching the movie, and it would stop, and then it was like this really like freaky experience. So I had to watch something funny right after, because that just added to the whole dread feeling of it, just because it was like everywhere was at like pitch black. So it wasn't just like, you know, one block and then there might be like street lights. It was so dark. So that was my funny experience watching this. But anyway, but I do recommend this, but I just want to make sure people know those triggers, especially with the suicide and self-harm behavior, because the self-harm behavior and the suicide stuff is really like a huge part of this movie. And so I think it's very important to know that, because there's a lot of it in here, a lot of like self-harm behavior in this throughout this movie. So just note that, but I do recommend it for people who are okay and can watch stuff with that in it. And it's on Showtime right now. So once again, that is the Australian horror film Talk to Me from last year. Yeah, it says 2022, but I know it came out last year. It's an A24 horror movie, but it doesn't necessarily mean that it's like the A24, like, were better than all the other horror movies. Horror movies. Sorry. Sometimes that elevated horror crap can piss me off. But anyway.
Horror for the fancy types.
Yes, for the ones that don't want to admit that they like horror movies.
For the connoisseur. Yeah.
Not to say that they aren't good movies. It's just the reaction of some people. It's like, okay.
Yeah.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Okay, so let's move on to one thing in pop culture or fandom that you are excited, upset, etc. about, Carla.
Hang on while I message Meg that she has to go watch Talk to Me. Because I know that this is completely up her alley. This is totally something that she would hate to miss.
Oh, yeah.
You know her.
She would be like, I can't believe you told me to watch this. She would
never speak to me again.
Yeah, she would not last the first 5 minutes. Actually, the first like 2 or 3 minutes, she'd be out.
Yeah, I think I remember seeing a trailer for this one, and it was an interesting premise.
Yeah. Well, speaking of horror, I am very, very excited because I am... Okay, so I've gone to one movie in a movie theater in the last 4 years. And that was like, I made a point of waiting until like well past the movie had come out. I went at an odd time. So it was like basically empty. But this time I am braving it. And of course I'm going to bring like my N95 mask and everything, but I'm still braving it to go see Abigail, because I don't know what it is about this movie that like I saw the trailer and I was like, I need to see this. I need to see this. It looks a little bit like cheesy, schlocky, a little bit predictable, but it's a heist movie and a horror movie about vampires. And I'm like, how can I not go and watch this? Like, I don't know. It may be turn out to be a classic. It may turn out to be a waste of money and time, but I'm going to do it anyway. So I'm going to go and see it. And I'm very excited about it. I'm taking my mom, who's also a horror fan. Obviously, I'm not taking my child. Because
why not? I don't understand.
I feel like it's not rated G. I could be mistaken because it does star a little girl. So it could be a G-rated bloody vampire heist movie. But I'm going to err on the side of caution. Just, you know, why not? But I'm super excited about this. The trailer just... Again, it looks like quite a bit cheesy. It looks quite a bit like, this is so silly, but it's my kind of silly. So I love this kind of stuff. It may become my new Night at the Roxbury for all we know. Who knows?
Wow.
You know, like not to set my expectations too high, but what if, you guys, what if?
I was going to say, wow, that's quite the expectation you're putting on Abigail here.
Right?
Maybe
I'll
she'll
report
take
my
a,
findings.
She'll take a bite out of the... I am so excited for this movie, but I've been excited for this since I saw the trailer because it's got vampires. It's got a twist on a vampire story. The vampire, this is in the trailer, okay? The vampire is a little girl. And it looks like so much fun. And this was one of the trailers that I sent to my sister. And because if people don't know, I send my sister these trailers from horror movies. And 9 times out of 10, she's like, oh my gosh, why do I just always say yes? I'll go see this with you. Even though
you think she would have learned by now.
Well, she was like, you'd think I would have learned after we went and saw Bones and All the weekend after we saw Barbarian. I was like, I'm never seeing a movie again with you. And then she sat down and watched the latest Evil Dead and all of these things. And she's like, I don't know what my problem is. But I sent her that trailer and she said, you know what? That actually looks really good. And I figured that would not be when she'd go, that looks really bizarre. I don't want to see that. Or, but I will see it anyway. So I'm waiting until she feels up to going and seeing it. But yeah, I'm very, very excited. I've heard that it's a lot of fun. So, and that's what I'm expecting, is just to have fun.
That's all I'm after. Yeah. I just want a good time.
Yes.
Is that the one where the girls, the ballerinas?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I did see that one. Does look fun. Yeah, I did see that trailer.
Who knows? Maybe it'll be this year's Megan.
It might be.
Yeah.
Yeah, I could see. Oh, I don't know. Just speaking of Megan and Chucky, because they have a rivalry. They've had her on a Twitter rivalry thing since Megan.
Oh, God.
And I guess, and it's actually a really good series. I need to catch up on it. I only saw the first season, but the series Child's Play that you can watch on Peacock. And it's actually really, really good, especially if you're a fan of that series. And so I guess in the latest one, I saw a clip of it. Chucky, the latest episode in season 3, Chucky's watching Megan on TV and insulting her. It's so funny. And it's the dance scene where she's dancing. And it's hilarious. I really recommend just even watching that clip. And I haven't seen yet if quote unquote Megan has responded. But there have been little kind of inklings and little kind of like whisperings from, you know, the creator of Chucky and then other people that there possibly might be a movie of Chucky versus Megan at some point. I would be fine with that. I know sometimes like some of those crossovers, it's icky, but I think in that world, I think that would be kind of fun to see.
Yeah.
And they've already set up this like.
Yeah. It really feels inevitable at this point.
Yes.
But like this is the kind of thing, because, you know, Freddy versus Jason, or, you know, whatever.
Alien versus Predator.
Yeah. And whatever the big thing versus Godzilla.
King Kong.
That's the one. I was like, no, it's not Donkey Kong. That sounds wrong.
Donkey Kong. Donkey
Kong. I know something Kong, but which one is it?
Now I really want to see Donkey Kong versus Godzilla.
Oh, I'd pay to watch that. Yeah.
That would actually be interesting. Like, throwing barrels might be the one thing that Godzilla succumbs to. But with this, like, they're both so inherently silly, both Chucky and Megan, that it would, like, just work naturally. They would have to work really hard to screw it up, basically.
Yeah. And it's just a funny little rivalry thing. So I don't know. Maybe. I don't know if Abigail would become part of it, since that's not really a doll, so it's not the same thing.
But maybe she'll play with both of them. Like, who knows? Who knows?
Yeah. So, yes. Yeah, so I can't wait to see that movie, too. So I'm excited for that one. So that's one of my most anticipated horror movies of the year. My most anticipated would definitely be Maxine that I mentioned last week. So, Sarah, what is one thing that you're excited, upset, etc. about?
All right, got to put the glasses on for this one. You know, so I could see stuff. The joys of getting older. All right, so I actually stumbled upon an article this week about AI and music. It was quoting M Shadows from Avenged Sevenfold, which has been one of my favorite bands for the past 15 years. Or so. And although he's fascinated with AI and the possibilities, maybe he never watched Terminator, I don't know. But there was a quote here, and he said, "Do I think humans are going to care in 20 years if music is written by a person or a robot? No, I do not." This irks me so much, because for me, music has always been such a great part of therapy. Connecting to songs and being able to say, oh my God, this person is going through what I'm going through, or this person has been through what I went through. And I don't think AI is going to be able to capture that type of pain, heartache, emotion. I mean, not just negative emotion, but just happiness, whatever. And yes, I think people will care because the reason people connect to art, whether it's paintings, drawings, music, poetry, whatever, is because of that human emotion. And I think this is kind of there's a lot of dangerous paths with AI, and I know we've talked about this in the past, but just allowing a computer to kind of go through the motions for music, I think it's insulting to the listener to do that, because we turn to music and we turn to art and things like that to feel something. And to know that it's just been written by a computer program, it's not the same. So this is what has been irking me this week. And he does double down a little bit more on it in the article. And I was having a conversation with a friend about it. I mean, she brought up some interesting points about how it will allow people who don't have, you know, they may have the talent to write the lyrics and perform, but they don't necessarily have the talent to write the music. Well, that's why you have musicians. It'll give more outlet to people to create music. But at the same time, I don't know. I don't necessarily agree with that. I think this is just a bad, bad idea. I don't know. I personally don't want music I listen to be written by a computer.
I agree.
It's horrible.
Yeah. Like, I understand that eventually AI may be able to replicate.
Right.
But I feel like there are so many humans out there who are desperately trying to get their stories out there through music, their thoughts and their hopes and dreams. Why? I mean, I know why we're farming it out to computers, because computers don't need housing and food and, you know, health benefits. So therefore it's just cheaper for the music industry, but it's just so soulless. You know, it's like, that is the ultimate form of selling out.
Yeah.
Yes. Oh my gosh. Yes. Yes. Because AI will never be able to duplicate having a soul, and AI will never be able to duplicate empathy and the wide breadth of emotions that is being a human being. And AI can never replicate that. And so that is very, I mean, I think there are definitely places where I think AI can help people's lives and can help improve their lives or can help in little bits and places. But when you're taking AI into spaces where it'll, you know, like take away jobs, or where it's basically taking away a human being's right to process their life and then also express themselves artistically, that's where it's incredibly dangerous. Because, yeah, it's so gross. And, you know, if you don't know by now, of course, you should know that this podcast is very, very opposed to this AI being in art form. There was a fan account that posted some stuff that was AI generated, and they were saying that they were okay with the AI images because fanfic is like in the same realm. I'm like, that is not the same realm at the same at all. Because even though you're using, you know, your inspiration is another, you know, another thing, another form of artistic expression, there's an artist behind creating that. AI is a computer that is stealing images from other people and using it. Or in the case of like music, I would assume they're like stealing the style of other bands, which yes, everybody's inspired by other bands, but that's totally different than a computer stealing it. And what they're wiping out is the human factor in it. So how are you going to get, I mean, some of the most amazing music, I can't imagine, like, you know, if that was all of a sudden AI. And being, because I'm like you, Sarah, music is very, very, music is the most important thing in my life. Mm-hmm. Artistically, is being able to listen to music. And like Carla said, there are so many people out there that really just are struggling and want to be artists and want to be able to make a living doing that. I mean, you can see tons of them on TikTok every day.
Yeah.
And so it's like, it's not like there aren't artists out there. We're not lacking artists. We're just seeing like the next phase in capitalism is this. And
yeah.
And so that brings me to mind. And you know, this I didn't plan this. I didn't know what Sarah was going to talk about. But then the very next day, I saw these two things. And these are two. One is troubling. The other one is so extremely troubling that if it doesn't bother you, then I don't know what's the matter. But the first one is A24, which I think a lot of people think A24, because of the fact that they were able to come up with that deal really quickly with SAG, and they were able to give them what they wanted with when the whole SAG-AFTRA strike was happening, and it presents us this very independent studio, and that they take risks and chances. Well, they have a new film out that someday we might actually, just because of the discourse around this, and I haven't seen the movie, but the film Civil War. And there's huge discourse. That's not what I'm going to be talking about. But it's kind of a big movie for A24 right now. And they released a series of epic new images touting its acclaimed film, Civil War. But there's a problem. The marketing art teases post-apocalyptic scenes that never appear in the movie and are seemingly generated by AI. So this is a studio using AI art when they could have hired someone to generate images. To create these images, but instead they used AI, and they're using these in marketing tools. So they're using this as a way to generate revenue, to generate interest in their film. So I think that is troubling right there. But the most troubling thing that had happened, and I think probably one of the most troubling things I've heard so far with AI in this realm, is there is a true crime doc on Netflix called What Jennifer Did. And it's a true story about this girl who basically was hiring these people to kill her parents and everything. And I watched this doc before learning this. And they used AI tools to manipulate photos of this girl. And it's bizarre. And when you, like, you know, they're digital, because one of the hands that looks really off and wrong, her ear looks off and wrong in these photos. And when I was watching the documentary, I didn't notice it because I was too into the story. But when you're using AI and you're telling a true crime doc and you're not saying these images have been digitally altered, and you're not being upfront about that, like, you know, you'll watch true crime docs and they have the, you know, the dramatic interpretations, you know, people like, which are usually like really bad, honestly.
Yeah.
But that's one thing, because you're saying up front, that's what that is. But when you're using an actual picture and you're manipulating the picture of the person who committed this crime, and you're altering it and making it look, you know, like they were even like happier than they were, or trying to paint it in a way of how you're painting this person who, yes, what she did was horrible. There's no excusing that. But the manipulation that this is very dangerous. Because if you're to do this in something else where you don't know the truth and they manipulate it to tell a different story than what is true, and that's what they're sort of doing in here. So that's really scary. And that's something that needs to keep being called out. And luckily, people were calling it out and talking about it and, you know, saying, you know, this is horrible and terrible and this is really dangerous. But I think this is one of the first times in this, one of the biggest instances so far in this field of AI art being used to generate, or not art, sorry, AI images being used to in something that a bunch of viewers and people are going to watch and think it's the truth, and not being told that this is an AI generated image. And these aren't really what the photos looked like of her before she murdered her parents, or had hired people to murder her parents. So that was really freaky when I saw that. That is really scary. And it's not excusing what A24 did either, because that's not good either. But this is like next level awfulness.
Yeah. So, that's
really creepy.
Just because I don't understand why, what would be the point of altering the photographs? Is it, like you said, to kind of change the narrative?
Yeah, because in the documentary, it's like, it's not a series, it's just one movie. And in the series, they're talking about her, and they're talking about her, like, who she was and what she was doing and how, you know, her parents wanted her to go to college and she wasn't really going to college. She was lying about that. And so when they're talking about this stuff, they're showing images of her. This image they're talking about is she's smiling and she's giving two peace signs. Well, one of the hands is clearly not her hand and altered digitally, or allegedly, I should say allegedly, but still, it's pretty obvious. And the other one is her. So they're taking photos of her, manipulating them to make her look like really like happy-go-lucky, like making her seem like she was even this more conniving person than maybe she had been, or trying to put that. And also, like, there's a scene where someone that used to be her classmate talks about her and how she was and who she was personality wise. And then they showed one of these altered photos. So it's like this way of you're not only hearing who she might have been, but you're seeing it so that in your mind, you're painting the picture of who she is. And I mean, it's very clear to me, at least, that she's guilty of what she did. But at the same time, when you're doing that, it just makes it all the more icky and bad, because you're manipulating people. So, yeah. And the truth. You're manipulating the truth. So, yeah. And that just shows, if you can do it with that, people could do that for real criminal cases. People could do that to get away with criminal activity. People could do that to frame people. People could do all sorts of stuff. So it's so scary.
This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Forget the frustration of picking commerce platforms when you switch your business to Shopify, the global commerce platform that supercharges your selling wherever you sell. With Shopify, you'll harness the same intuitive features, trusted apps, and powerful analytics used by the world's leading brands. Sign up today for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/tech, all lowercase. That's shopify.com/tech.
Okay, well, for our last thing, my brain is not working. So if I had found this, though, I will be honest, if I had found this before I made up our outline, this might have been our main topic. And we've talked about AI tons of times. I'm sure we'll be revisiting it, because sadly, it's not going to go anywhere with this area of it. But what I want to do for our final thing, because my brain isn't working, is we're just going to be able to share one other pop culture or fandom thing that we feel any way about. So, Carla.
You know, I had to really dig for this one, because I was like, do I still have feelings anymore? Do I still have a use of my heart? No, I've just been super busy and have had time for nothing but audiobooks and rewatching The Golden Girls. So, but I guess, like, if there's one thing that I'm really not so much into, but like entering at this phase in my motherhood journey, it's my son is 10. He's going to turn 11 soon. And up until this point, you know, whatever I like, he seems to enjoy. So we listen to a lot of the same stuff and all of that. But of course, as kids do, they start to branch off and find things that they enjoy separate from what you like. And some of the stuff inevitably will be something that clashes with you in one way or another. So he has started, he quote unquote discovered Eminem. And I'm like, so now we're going to have to discover talk, right? And like, we've had conversations about sexism and about violence. And he, you know, will be just walking along and he has like a frown on his face. And I'm like, what's wrong? He's like, I don't like the way that the world treats women. And I'm like, okay, so good. So maybe he won't absorb to the core all of Eminem's questionable values, except especially his early music, when he talked a lot about his ex-wife, which was really just awful the way that he would talk about her. But I did have to sit him down and tell him, look, I need you to understand that there will be some certain songs that we will not allow you to listen to. And why? You know, this is why we won't. And we had a really interesting discussion about, you know, he knows that that's not how you treat women. So why does it matter if he's listening to a song because he enjoys the tune, despite what the lyric says? He's like, I am not going to be brainwashed by what this guy is saying. And I told him, it's easier to say than to do, because art clings to us. And it's not something in which we always are conscious of. You know, we can absorb something and not realize the way in which it's changing us at our core until much later when, you know, you start listening to yourself parroting something that somebody has said that is just pretty awful. So I told him, you know, there are a lot of lyrics that we're going to need to discuss and parse out so that you know why we find them objectionable. Because at some point, you know, when you're older, especially as our more society change, you revisit some things that you've watched and listened to, and you're like, ooh, that's really gross from today's perspective. But at that point in time, it was perfectly acceptable to listen to that stuff and those words being said. And, you know, so I told them that there's going to come a point in like 20 or so years where you'll be able to be more objective about this and do a more conscientious examination of what you're ingesting in the form of art. But as kids, we don't really have that perspective. We don't have that life experience. So what I'm trying to do is get you to see it now. You may or may not fully absorb what I'm saying. You may think that you're immune, because kids always think they're immune to everything. You may think that you're immune to brainwashing and everything, but you're not. You're only human. It's not going to make you a bad person to have bad ideas for a while, because none of us are born with perfect moral compasses. They get honed as we age. But I'm trying to set you up for an easier path to being an enlightened man. So we're having those conversations, and I'm very glad that he is so willing to listen and to absorb what I'm saying. And whether or not he goes and listens to those songs when he's on his own, it's a different story. I have to trust that he will eventually, you know, realize that, oh yeah, this is really gross. But I think all of us from like the age of 10 to maybe 25 are a lot less conscientious in what we consume. So I'm giving him the space to kind of make those mistakes and figure that out. As long as he's not mirroring those things in his behavior towards people, then I think we're walking the right path. There's only so much you can do as a parent. And then the rest is just kind of like hoping that you've instilled good enough values that they come to that realization on their own that, oh yeah, this isn't aligning with who I am at my core. So I guess deep realizations about parents via Eminem's music is what I'm into this week.
I loved that though.
No, that's fantastic that you're able to have those conversations with him and that he recognizes it too.
Like I said, he's pretty receptive and he's pretty open to hearing me out. So I'm not going to ban him from listening to Eminem outright, because that's just not the way to go. All they're going to do is they're going to go and listen to it behind your back. So like, that's not the point. The point is just think about things as you're watching and listening to them. You know, like, all right. The one thing that he does do is that he says, but I always look for the clean versions. I'm like, great. I appreciate that. Yes. Yeah. I'm like, thank you for being careful about that. He's like, yes.
Okay, but. Yeah. So, Sarah, what is one other thing for you?
I'll be brief. The new Pearl Jam album dropped yesterday. Many people might not be aware that that happened because of another release that dropped yesterday. Yes, there actually is a new Pearl Jam album. I actually haven't listened to Pearl Jam in a while, but was a huge fan back in the 90s. And I heard just some great things about this one. So I'm like, yeah, you know what? I'll take a listen because it's been a while. I think I've listened to it 6 times since yesterday. It's fantastic and really makes my 16-year-old grunge-loving self very happy. There's some great songs on there that are pretty emotional, actually. Something Special being one of them. Scared of Fear is another favorite. But absolutely love it. So if you are a Gen Xer, grunge-loving person, definitely check it out. I feel like you will not be disappointed. There is not a bad song on the entire album, in my opinion. Go take a listen. And I don't think you need to find any clean versions of it. It's
good to know in case his tastes suddenly veer in that direction.
Actually, no, there are a couple songs that, you know, drop an F-bomb or two, but, you know, Eddie Vedder's not always the easiest to understand, so you may not realize it.
You know, you would think that would help, but my kid, the first thing he does when he's listening to music is go to the Spotify lyrics thing.
Of course.
So, you know.
Okay, I mean, I kind of do that too, but that's because I really want to see what the lyrics are.
Yeah, I do that too.
Not looking for language, as my son would say. Language. But I think it's really well done. So if you're a grunge fan, definitely check it out.
Yeah, I didn't know they were releasing a new album, but, and I've shared this before, but I saw Pearl Jam before, like they were known, like they were huge, but they were one of the opening bands. It was Pearl Jam and then Smashing Pumpkins opening for Red Hot Chili Peppers.
Oh man, that's a lineup.
Yeah, although that was the last time I ever really listened to Red Hot Chili Peppers with any sense of liking them, because I actually ended up hating them after that concert. So I will say that. But yeah, that I always like to say, yes, I saw them before people knew who they were.
That's awesome, though.
Well, the last thing I will mention, and the interview would have already dropped by now, and the book is out now, but I was very lucky to talk with writer and producer Richard Gorman, who wrote this book, Married with Children Versus the World, the inside story of the shock com that launched Fox and changed TV comedy forever. Richard had worked in television for, like, you know, he worked on like Happy Days and all the way back, like, for a long time, and he was one of the writers on Married with Children, and he was the co-showrunner for season 10 of the show as well. And it's just a really interesting read. If you're a fan of Married with Children, if you ever were, I really think it's kind of a must read, because it's such an insider story of things that went on. And, you know, it talks a lot about how the two showrunners for Married with Children that were there for like the first 9 seasons, the atmosphere that they cultivated for people was really, really different than most television shows. They treated their cast and crew and I think the crew part is really essential, as equals. He tells all these amazing stories about them. He tells this one story how they had this assistant who he was like, you know, I really need a promotion. I feel kind of stuck in what I'm doing right now as a production assistant. And so when the showrunners were renewing their contract, they put in their contract as a stipulation that this guy would get not only a raise, but would get a promotion. And that is not really heard of in that industry. These people were very, like, you know, I mean, they also talked about how, you know, it's kind of like looking at, like, you know, they didn't dress like in suits. They kind of had like a college dorm kind of looking office. But the fact that they were so incredibly loving and caring for their cast and crew, and that just kind of informed the way everybody felt about each other. Granted, it doesn't mean things didn't fall apart. Very famously, and he talks a lot about in this, it's talked a lot about in this book, and both of the actors are interviewed, but famously, Ed O'Neill and Amanda Burse, towards the end, like, they fought constantly, like all the time. And so they talk a lot about that and how some of that came from the fact that Amanda ended up directing a lot of episodes. And so she was in a different level in the show at that point, you know, when she would direct them. And so there was a lot of clashing between them. And so he talks very openly about that, but also talks about the fact that even though Ed and Amanda weren't getting along, Ed still would stick up for Amanda during certain things that happened. Like he yelled at Tony Danza. This one part, it's really funny. Like, I would never think of Tony Danza as like being the like person to cause any kind of problem or anything. And just let you know who the showrunners were. They were Ron Levitt and Michael Moy.
Did Ed O'Neill tell Tony Danza that he was not the boss?
I think he actually said something kind of similar to that, to be honest. I can't remember the exact words, but I think it actually was something similar to that. So, yeah, because they shot their studios where they shot were right next to each other, and they were rehearsing, and Ted Danza came out and yelled, or Tony Danza came out and yelled and said, you know, keep it, you know, we're trying to, you know, I'm trying to do this. Why are you being so loud? And he was yelling at Amanda, and then Ed kind of stuck up for her. So, and I think, I'm pretty sure he did say something along those lines, but I could be totally wrong and just hoping that that happened. But it also
talks about, I really hope he did.
I know. But it's amazing reading this, because Richard also got to talk to, you know, the woman who basically, you know, like, if it wasn't for her and her one woman moral crusade against the show in season 3, that's how the show became so popular. And so he goes into that and he interviewed her. He talked to her in this book. And I was just like, wow, that's amazing that you got to, that she actually sat down and was willing to talk to him about that whole thing. And it's just, you know, lots of things I didn't know and lots of like insider things. And the way he talks about it, though, is he says in there, it's like the best job he ever had working there. And they all were upset by the way the show ended and the way Fox treated them towards the end. And he talks a lot about how hard it was to get certain cast members. Like, they really didn't want Ed O'Neill to be there. Like, the heads of of Fox were like, no, he's horrible. We don't want him on this. We don't want him to be in this. And no one else could play Al Bundy. I mean, come on. Yeah. And so it was just, it's a really, really good book. And if you're a fan of that show, I really would recommend reading it. I had no idea how many people behind the scenes, how much diversity was going on behind the scenes, honestly. I had no idea. There were so many women that were writers. They had so many people, you know, so many like Black creators. They had Asian creators. They had so many people that were working behind the scenes as well, because that's really important to have representation behind the scenes and not just in front of the camera. And I didn't know that. Like, I was kind of, you know, I was kind of like, oh, wow, I didn't really know all of that. So that was interesting to hear. The interview, if you haven't listened to it yet, go back and listen to it. I really enjoyed talking with Richard about that show. And then go back from a couple of years ago and listen to the Wild Women of Podcasting. That's me, Jen, and Carla talking about Married with Children. You can also watch it live on our YouTube channel. So that will do it for this week's pop culture and fandom news episode. So I just really want to thank my two panelists, Carla from Bedwetter Behead Pod and Sarah. So we're going to go around and have everybody say where they can be found. So Carla, take it away.
I am going to take this to this logical conclusion and start by saying that, hi, I'm Carla. You can find me and my podcast, Bedwetter Behead, which I co-host with Meg. Wherever you get this podcast, or pretty much any other podcast, probably, I imagine. You can also find our social media presence. Look for Bedwetter Behead Podcast. Look for me and my art and my musings. I was going to say my mart. Although I do have stuff on Society 6, so look for Society 6 / Carla Temis. You can find my stuff, little whatevers, on Instagram and the one with TikTok. That's the one with those video type things that the kids enjoy, at Carla Temis, or my website, carlatemis.com. That's carlatemis.com.
Awesome. Hopefully TikTok is still around.
Seriously. Yeah.
Yeah. Listen, okay, I know that TikTok is for the children, but I am the children.
Yes, please let this still be around by this time. Recording it on the day that they could be out banning it. So, you know, we'll see. Anyway, so Sarah, where can they find you?
You can find me on Instagram at NateCamMom. That's NateCamMom. Or on Facebook at Sarah Vicara Barnick. That's B as in boy, ARNAIK. I am on TikTok as well, but never post anything. So, or very rarely post things. I use it more for finding cat videos or whatever. And no, I'm not on Twitter anymore. So yeah, don't look for me there, because just know I'm done. Although I might need to get back on for the whole Megan Chucky thing, because that sounds incredibly entertaining.
Yeah. Oh, well, this is Erin, and this has been such an enjoyable month for Fergie. She wasn't really that into speed, I will be honest, but she loved The Crow, loved Natural Born Killers. That was definitely her favorite.
What a shock.
And she loved Pulp Fiction. So you want to follow Fergie the dog on TikTok at Schroeder and Fergs. That's Schroederandfergs. It's long, but it's worth it. Be sure to like the show on Facebook at facebook.com/itsafandomthingpod. On Twitter at fandomthingpod. No, it's in that one. On Instagram, Threads, and TikTok. Hopefully, we're still there. At itsafandomthingpod. If you have any feedback, show notes, if you'd like to be a potential interview guest on the show, please feel free to reach out to us via our website. itsafandomthingpod.com. Click the contact us button there and that'll shoot me an email and I will try to get back to you as soon as I can. And while you're there, head on over to the page titled Marathon Streaming Event, and you'll want to join us in, by the time this is dropping, we're going to be, oh my God, a week out from this. Holy moly. It's on May 4th. Sorry, I just all of a sudden was like, wait, oh my God. Saturday, May 4th. Yes, Star Wars Day, from 10 a.m. to 10 p.m. Mountain Standard Time. So come and join us. There will be, hopefully by this time, video with our schedule. And Carla is going to be a part of quite a few things we are doing. Sarah is helping with the trivia for My Men. Not for them. They're not coming on. That would be really awesome.
Oh my God. That'd be fantastic.
That would be the dream.
Oh my God. Can you imagine? I'm going to be loopy at that time, so that would be really interesting. But anyway, so we're going to have trivia. We're going to have great guests on. We're going to end the night with urban legends. And so click the info in the show notes or go to the page on our website. And while you're there, consider becoming a Patreon supporter. For as little as $3 a month, you get ad-free content, bonus episodes, and so much more. And on Friday's episode, we are going to be hopping in a bus and trying to keep our speed above 50 miles an hour. Otherwise, Dennis Hopper is going to blow us up.
Oh, my God. I'm proud of you and embarrassed. No, I'm kidding. That was pretty amazing.
Thank you. So, yes. So, Carla and Sarah will be back. And fingers crossed, Tiff, to talk about speed. So until next time, remember, it's a fandom thing. Black Lives Matter and stop Asian hate.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.